Welcome to Indigenous Vision Podcast. This is Melissa from Ivy Music, and I'm here with our beloved CEO, Suta Collingglass, to bring you some more information on a couple of events that are coming up. So I'm just going to pass it to her to kind of go in depth into the cultural humility event that's coming up really, really quick.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening in. Yeah, so we have another cultural humility event coming up. Tyler and I, the project director for Indigenous Vision, are both trained cultural humility facilitators. And so I, in my master's degree, I got a little bit of training, six-week course on it. And I really felt like it was a more holistic way to approach relationships with people. And this, for my master's training, it was more under the focus area of managing organizations and companies. And so it focused on treating people as if they were valuable. Imagine that.
That's pretty crazy. I know I sat in during the very first cultural humility meeting last week, and I was really blown away by some of the just basics of just being a person and how we're so overlooked, and we just overlook each other in almost all aspects of life. So why are you putting these on?
This is part of our organizational endeavors to create peaceful societies. And if we have a peaceful society, then we'll have more peace in the Indigenous community and acceptance about our culture, more acceptance about what is sacred, just more overall, more compassion and understanding and acceptance. And cultural humility is kind of like a lifelong tool that essentially gives you the training you need to meet each person in your life as if they were a brand new person, despite the fact that they might be from the same community, the same family, the same, you know, department, where people are generalized into group characters and values. No matter who you meet them as a brand new person, and you listen to them, and you listen to understand from a perspective that the person you're listening to is a knowledge keeper on whatever they're talking about, has the wisdom on whatever they're talking about. So you honor them essentially in whatever they're saying. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel really good when people listen to understand, not listen to reply. That makes sense. Yeah.
Cultural humility. So where did this come out of? But the name itself, I mean, there's cultural sensitive, I guess, courses that people do take in certain fields of work. How is this going to stand up to that?
So the cultural humility training and the term humility is a spin off of sensitivity and competency. So sensitivity, I think, is more politically correct terms, you know, which everybody can use, because for me, it's hard to, they transition and they evolve, I think, as we explore our humanness. But competency is being phased out. It's a thing of the past, because it's just not possible to become culturally competent if you are not from the culture. And that's because you're born with inherent biases. You learn the values and ethics of your own community. And then as you observe, those inherent biases and snap judgments all form the decision that you make based on your observation. Competency is essentially a bad thing. There's a lot of different examples, like a doctor going into a ER room and seeing a Hispanic lady, and the Hispanic lady is in a lot of pain. She's making noises. She's moaning. She's clinching. She's crying. And the doctor leaves the room and tells the assistant, who asked if they should have given some sort of painkiller. The doctor replies, "No, in my competency training, I learned that Hispanics overindulge on their pain levels." And so that's the kind of error that you can make by assuming that one characteristic of a person is kind of assumed over the entire population. No one can be competent. And even I cannot be like a fully competent Blackfoot woman, because of the process of being a Blackfoot woman lasts an entire lifetime. And I think it's just a really different context. And to me, it's more Indigenous, it's more holistic, and it honors the person in front of you.
That's really insane. All these really outdated ways of training people how to be professionals, quote unquote. So what you're doing is like taking leaps forward. So other than, I guess people can use this in their daily lives, just as human beings in general. So if someone wanted to sign up for this, what would they have to do? How would they get involved?
We're going to be doing one free event every 6 weeks or so, which is a community dialogue session. And then we also have our workforce development training opportunities, and those happen once a month. We change the themes on them. Essentially, they're all a cultural humility training, but last time we did equity in Indian country. The next time we're doing a discussion on luck and privilege, or luck versus privilege. A lot of things in cultural humility, and luck versus privilege is more along the economic lines of cultural humility. And so you have people like our president and his, and who else would it be? Oh, the Kardashians, Kylie and her famous like $1 billion lipstick industry, saying they made it from the bottom, that they are self-made millionaires. That wasn't so much luck. It was more privilege, because both of those people were born into families that had money and they left them money. I read a great article that perfectly explained it, that Kylie has years of making a reality TV show. So that's like self-promotion, right? And so she built up her brand of Kylie before she launched her lipstick brand. And neither parent would let her sit on the street if her lipstick company went under. And so she's not self-made. Her parents helped her, supported her. She was born into a family with a lot of fame. And so that's not self-made. It's not luck. It's privilege. And so we have a lot of people of privilege saying that it's just luck and that they're self-made, but it really looks at the different economic statuses that people are born into and how that makes us who we are and how that opens up or prevents different opportunities from being easily within our grasp.
Is there anything else that you want to mention about this particular event before we move on to your next amazing endeavor?
Well, I always find it, you know, no matter what I'm talking about, there's always kind of like this parallel conversation that is going in my mind. And as an Indigenous woman, there is such thing, you know, when you think about luck versus privilege. And I think that we don't want to get too deep into the spiritual aspect of privilege and lifestyle and how that promotes luck from an Indigenous perspective. It's just depending on who's in the room, it's an entirely different conversation between, I think, traditionalists and people who hold on to Indigenous cultures versus the conversation in a classroom of non-Native professionals. So it's very interesting, the two-sided conversations happening in my head.
I'm looking forward to the next gathering, because like I said, I learned a lot of things, and I also am guilty of just making assumptions as soon as I meet somebody, or even like assuming myself. Like I compare right away myself to other people. Like it's really crazy when you have to reflect on that, and it really does start with you, you know, you as a person. So I think these are amazing dialogues to be having, and I'm really glad that the ball is finally rolling. You also have the self-defense classes coming up. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So our self-defense classes, again, are our organizational answer to putting our foot down and saying no. That the best way for women to stop going missing and being found murdered is to, well, the first obvious, of course, is to stop violence in our community and stop men from being violent, men or women being violent. But the second best thing we can do is learn how to protect ourselves. And so we offer these self-defense classes for free in the park. We've been doing them at Westwood High School in Mesa the past few months. And we're just getting more requests from the community. And we started the Missing Murdered Indigenous Warriors Movement. That one is going great. There's up to 15 volunteers across 7 different states. We just recently submitted a grant to continue this on a larger scale. I know people love to volunteer for a good cause, but I also like to pay the instructors for their time, because they spent years obtaining their instruction, their black belts, all of the training that they put into themselves. I would like to honor that. I'm put in for a couple of grants to hopefully play the organizers and the instructors and get this going around the country.
It'd be really great to see all of these like martial arts or, you know, jujitsu places. I know there's like big gyms out there. There's like national chains of gyms, but for them to have like one day, like a month, and just offer self-defense classes. I was actually watching some MMA videos on YouTube and how there's like these big elite gyms. If we could somehow get like those guys involved and aware of the issues and stuff like that, that would be really, really cool. So your next one is coming up March 31st in Mesa, Arizona. That's on Pioneer Park, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And it's totally free. That's amazing. And I saw that your Facebook, you were live yesterday, depending on when you're hearing this show, actually. You were at the state capitol witnessing something really historical. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, the historical event that happened yesterday at the Arizona state capitol was the unanimous passing by the House of Representatives an act that establishes a study committee on murdered and missing Indigenous women in Arizona. It's significant because it was Republicans and Democrats to vote unanimously. I think the actual act itself will include members nominated by the governor, members of local Native organizations, social workers, a victim of abuse, a survivor essentially, and a couple of other people from around the community, sheriffs, counties with a population over so many people. It's a really great idea for this group of people to come together to start looking at it from the story and the perspective of the survivors and the victims versus the county sheriffs, the tribal police, Native organizations in town, resources and help. So I really like the well-rounded group of people that they will be putting together for this committee. I think it's a great start, but again, it is a study, and so we really look to get some community partners in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, throughout Arizona, and Montana, throughout the country. to just organize. And so when we organize, we look for martial arts practitioners or self-defense instructors, people who have taken the training, received the correct instruction. So yeah, we're doing free self-defense in the park. This month's self-defense will be at Pioneer Park in Mesa, Arizona. And that will be Sunday, March 31st from 11 a.m. to 12:30. And that same day, I think we have another training happening in Browning, Montana at the high school gym. It's still to be determined, essentially. So you can look at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/IndigenousVision, or our website for that information.
And that would be indigenousvision.org. I also noticed that you have t-shirts now going for this. How can people get a t-shirt if they can't make it to an event? Is there a way?
Right. Our t-shirts are very important t-shirts. So I put together this little clip art image of self-defense image, but I put the red ribbon skirt with the ribbons that signify the color of statistics happening to murdered missing Indigenous women. And it's a great, cute little image. $25 a t-shirt. We like to pay our instructors $50 per class. And so it just takes two t-shirts to fund one class.
Thank you so much for sharing your time. And that wraps up another episode, our podcast of Indigenous Vision. So follow us on SoundCloud. Make sure you like the Facebook page. And we'll be back shortly.
Have a great week, everybody.